Good evening, little Saigon, Seattle, and all places sideways and backways and forward ways. It's March the 30th, 2020. And I think the little Saigon report will be a bit abbreviated these days for a while. Yeah, I think we're going to do shorter little Saigon reports, maybe more of them. I don't know if I'm going to continue with the fictional writing right now. I have episode 5, a couple of versions of it, of Little Saigon Diary in my head, but I don't know. This is a dread time of the soul, man. We can all joke about the protein slurry, and we can joke about the staying at home until you're dead. Yes, we can joke about the protein slurry and the stay-at-home order until you're dead. Or even the fact that I've got through my last Keurig, so I have to start using the Folgers again. And that means boiling it old-timey style, and I don't really give a fuck. I don't. I don't really care. If you're gonna ask me, do I care, I don't give a fuck. I'm in a bad place about not giving a fuck. Am I a Christian still? Sure I am. But am I a good one right now? A while back, I told a friend of mine that I thought I would live in a time when Christians would be forced underground. And I think people, you know, when I said this to them, I said, oh, that's funny, Dan. That's hilarious. But if you think about these stay-at-home orders, one of the things they definitely do is attack, you know, the Christian congregation. Essentially, it's like, fuck. You know, basically, the stay-at-home order is kind of an anti-religious order, but it's also very much an anti-Christian order. And you could say, well, Dan, doesn't that apply to all religions? Well, it does. It does. But I would also say that even though it applies to all religions, I think it does especially hurt Christians at this point, especially the way that a lot of the virus is being described. It's being described as an us versus them thing. You know, I will tell you right now what they're doing is stealing a lot of fucking money. If you want to know what they're doing, they're committing robbery. They're committing acts of violence to steal money. They're killing people. Probably a lot of people are being killed in China. Probably millions are being killed. And how they're being killed, who knows? They'll call it the virus. And there's probably been some Americans killed because they know too much. And they'll call that the virus, too. Yeah, a lot of people will get killed and it'll be the virus. makes you think about what happened to Duncan Lemp, because if they'd simply just waited a few weeks, probably what would have happened is, well, it was the virus. The whole family got it. The whole family got the fucking virus, and now the family's dead. Shit. Virus. I want to talk about chest pains. I see a doctor by the name of Dr. Grunkus, and I told Dr. Grunkus I've been having what I would call pains that go up and down my arms and across my chestal zone and down the other arm. And one of the things he said, and this is really important when it comes to chest pains, is the key ingredient for chest pains, the number one trick to dealing with chest pains, the key to chest pains, he said, Dan, if you want to fix your chest pains, you need to get some cocaine. So, yeah, I thought about doing a telethon for cocaine. You know, like a telethon like you would do for kids who need some surgery to remove some fucking growth. A telethon for me. A telethon for hookers. Telethon for cocaine. A telethon for cocaine. Yeah, I think I need to schedule a telethon for cocaine and hookers. And of course, I think I only have ever been exposed to the hooker trade once in my life, maybe. I was really drunk. I was 19. Whole another story. And I've never had cocaine. But I figure at this point in my life, now is the best time to start with the cocaine. You know, but I want to get started with the cocaine because the storyline is going to progress quickly now. And you'll say, Dan, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean toilet paper. Yeah, I mean toilet paper. The story will progress. Progress to the F word, and that's called famine. You know, you have to eat before you poop. And here's the deal, it doesn't matter if the famine is natural or not. Probably the greatest fucking famines in history have been totally fucking man-made. the result mainly of governments doing stupid government shit. And you end up with a famine. Oh, I'm going to pick how many tractors, how many tractor operators, how many farmers, how many TV sets. Holy shit. It turns out that picking the number of those things is stupid because the market does it for you. And it does it correctly. No, I mean, governments are stupid. If they want to have a famine, all they have to have is more government control. If they were to nationalize all the farms, I would tell you a lot of people are about to die. And, you know, government in farming has been a thing for a while, so let's not complain about it. The government should never have been involved in it. There should never have been this idea of bailouts for anybody to include farmers. I feel sorry for farmers. Farming is an occupation. Guess what? My dad was a logger. Logging is also an occupation. As ancient, probably older than farming, since you gotta cut down the fucking trees to plant the fucking crops. Back in the 80s, a number of events occurred that made being a small-time logger like my dad kind of impossible. So he had, during the last 10 years of his life, some of the roughest years of his business. And it was a bad business. And he worked hard, and it was just bad. Now, nobody did a logger aid. Well, I don't think loggers would have put up with that shit, because that just sounds like what you do for a pussy. Nobody did that. I mean, Aberdeen, Washington, to this day, is still in kind of economic shambles, in part because of what happened to the logging industry in the 80s back here in Washington State. So what we need to get out of our system is this notion that anybody deserves to be saved, including Uncle Dan. If Uncle Dan ends up choking on his ego, if I end up getting some heart attack because Dr. Grunkus says, why don't you take some metal shavings and shove it down your fucking throat? That's what happens. That's life in Little Saigon. You think the protein slurry cooks itself here in Little Saigon? It does not. The protein slurry in Little Saigon does not gather itself into a slurry. No, it does not. Yeah, I don't know, folks. I don't know what to tell you. I feel sorry for people who are losing their jobs, but I'm thinking the reason why they're losing their jobs is because currently there's a robbery occurring, and they're not just stealing money, they're stealing what little power you have left. And they can't really do this if you're out there exercising your freedom. If they want to steal the very little bit of freedom you have left, the tiny little fucking bit, you kind of have to be at home, worried about the virus. At home, worried about the virus. Worried about getting the Gumbulak 7 disorder. Worried about whether or not those chest pains you feel is a panic attack because you need a lot more weed and beer. Or maybe it's the big one and you're hoping it just takes you away. Oh, good lordy. Good lordy, let the shimbly of my cardiovascular system take me away. Good lordy, let the gomuli that's collecting in my arteries and veins blockages, let it cause the ultimate strokeage. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you folks, but this podcast is over. Like I said, I'm probably going to do these shorter ones, probably because I don't give a shit. Maybe I do give a shit. If you're interested in supporting my podcast, there's donation links to Venmo and PayPal. As if anybody has any real money, as if I can go out and buy shit. I'm not supposed to, but if I can get some beer and weed in me, I'll be even more lit than normal. If you can get some beer and weed in Uncle Dan, shit gets crazier, baby. And life gets a little hairier near the centroid of your discontented bullshit, motherfucker. Fuck you too.